It's beautiful. Last week, the last paragraph is beautiful. The cream of the message, it's dedicated. This 1934, Willindus. The mystery of the soul, that's her inner self. While on one occasion, the confessor told me to ask the Lord Jesus the meaning of the two rays in the image. I answered, "Very well, I will ask the Lord." During prayer, I heard these words within me. The two rays denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water, which makes soul righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which it is the life of souls. These two rays issued forth from the very depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lens on the cross. These rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of him. I decide that the first Sunday after Easter be the Feast of Mercy. Ask of my faithful servant, Sopoko, that on this day he tell the whole world of my great mercy, that whoever approaches the font of life on this day will be granted complete remission of sins and punishment. Mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Oh, how much I am hurt by a soul's distress. Such a soul professes that I am holy and just, but does not believe that I am mercy and does not trust in my goodness. Even the devils glorify my justice, but do not believe in my goodness. The devil, the Satan, believes in justice. God is just, but he doesn't believe in God's love. My heart rejoices in this title of mercy. Proclaim that mercy is the greatest attribute of God. All the works of my hands are crowned with mercy. That's 14th word. O eternal love, I want all the souls you have created to come to know you. I would like to be a priest, for then I would speak with Thurses about your mercy to sinful souls drowned in despair. I would like to be a missionary and carry the light of faith to savage nations in order to make you known to souls, and to be completely consumed for them and to die a martyr's death, just as you died for them and for me. O Jesus, I know only too well that I can be a priest, a missionary, a preacher, and then I can die a martyr's death by complete emptying myself and denying myself for love of you, O Jesus, and of immortal souls. Great love can change small things into great ones, and it is only love which lends value to our actions. And the purer our love becomes, the less there will be within us for the flames of suffering to feed upon, and the suffering will cease to be a sacred suffering for us. It will become a delight. By the grace of God, I've received such a disposition of heart that I am never so happy as when I suffer for Jesus, whom I love with every beat of my heart. Once I was suffering greatly, I left my work and escaped to Jesus and asked him to give me his strength. After a short prayer, I returned to my work, filled with enthusiasm and joy. Then one of the sisters, probably Sister Justine, said to me, "You must have many consolations today, sister. You look so radiant. Surely God is giving you no suffering, but only consolations." Not at all. "You are greatly mistaken, sister," I answered, "for this is precisely when I suffered much that my joy is greater." It's important, eh? The more you suffer, the more you enjoy inner freedom. That's more important, because many times we wait that the suffering go on and then I can be happy. But for Sustina, she's happier when the pain is there, because just only with the Lord her joy is, because she suffered together with the Lord. "And when I suffer less, my joy also is less. However, that soul was letting me recognize that she does not understand what I was saying. I tried to explain to her that when we suffer much, we have a great chance to show God that we love him. But when we suffer little, we have less occasion to show God our love. And when we do not suffer at all, our love is then neither great nor pure. By the grace of God, we can attain a point where suffering will become a delight to us, for love can work much such things in pure souls." So love can work miracles. It's your prayer. "Oh my Jesus, my own hope, thank you for the book which you have opened before my soul's eyes. The book is your passion, and your underworld for love of me. It is from this book that I have learned how to love God and souls. In this book, they are found for us inexhaustible treasures. Oh Jesus, how few souls understand you in a martyrdom of love. Oh, how great is the fire of purest love which burns in your most sacred heart. Happy the soul that has come to understand the love of the heart of Jesus. It is my greatest desire that souls should recognize you as the eternal happiness, that they should come to believe in your goodness and glorify your infinite mercy." So Sister Faustina, her aim of life is that let us all know divine mercy, that we all become another Christ, only another Christ, nothing else. Because Christ only lived for love, for the will of the Father, nothing else. That's the joy of Jesus, that of his giving, nothing for self. "I ask the Lord to grant me the grace that my nature be immune and resist the influences that sometimes try to draw me away from the spirit of our rule and from the minor regulations. These minor transgressions are like little motes that try to destroy the spiritual life within us, and they surely will destroy it if the soul is aware of these minor transgressions and yet disregards them as small things. I can see nothing that is small in the religious life." Nothing is small if we live for Jesus. Even a small act of love is great for the Lord. Don't say it doesn't matter. It matters. Anything matters. Put the button. Yeah, yeah, the last one. This one, yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, this one. No, no, no. Okay. Oh my Jesus, delight of my heart, you know my desires. I should like to hide from people's sight so as to be night one alive and yet not living. Hidden from people. I want to live pure as a white flower, the lily, the daisy, down from nobody aware of its existence. But when you put on your foot on it, give the fragrance, the little flower. I want my love always to be turned to you, just as a flower that is always turning to the sun. I want the fragrance and the freshness of the flower of my heart to be always preserved for you alone. I want to live beneath your divine gaze, for you alone are enough for me. When I am with you, Jesus, I fear nothing, for nothing can do me harm. So you have to keep Jesus always close to you. When we say in your heart, I don't know any space for your heart, at least you're close to you, at least you hold his hand. So much better, you know, keep in your heart. But if you have no space for the heart, at least you keep the space with your hand. Once during Lent, I saw Greek lights in Greek darkness over house and chapel. I saw the struggle of these two powers. Holy Thursday, Jesus said to me, I decide that you make an offering of yourselves for sinners, and especially those souls who have lost hope in God's mercy. The worst thing is lost hope. God and souls, a lack of oblation. Before heaven and earth, before all the choirs of angels, before the most Holy Virgin Mary, before all the powers of heaven, I declare to the one true God that today, in union with Jesus Christ, Redeemer of souls, I make a voluntary offering of myself for the conversion of sinners, especially for those souls who have lost hope in God's mercy. This offering consists in my accepting with total subjection to God's will all the sufferings, fears, and terrors with which sinners are filled. She took for herself all the pain. In return, I give them all the consolations which my soul received for my communion with God. In a word, I offer everything for them. Holy Masses, Holy Communions, penances, mortifications, prayers. I do not fear the blows of divine justice, because I am united with Jesus. Oh my God, in this way I want to make amends to you for the souls that do not trust in your goodness. So sometimes you suffer, maybe not for yourself, for those people you know that they don't trust, they don't love enough. There must be somebody doing penance. I hoped against all hope in the ocean of your mercy. My Lord and my God, my portion forever, I do not base this act of oblation on my own strength, but on the strength that flows from the merits of Jesus Christ. I will daily repeat this act of self-oblation by pronouncing the following prayer, which you yourself have taught me, Jesus. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. That's a prayer. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. of blood and water, which cuts forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy on earth for us, I trust in you. On the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Thursday, during Holy Mass, March 29, 1934. Word of Jesus. I'm giving you a share in the redemption of mankind. Your solace in my dying hour. When I received permission from my confessor, Father Sepulchro, to make this act of oblation, I soon learned that it was pleasing to God, because I immediately began to experience its effects. At a moment, my soul became like a stone, dried up, filled with torment and disquiet. All sorts of blasphemies and curses kept pressing upon my ears. Distrust and despair invaded my heart. This is the condition of the poor people which I have taken upon myself. It's not easy to take the cross of the others. Terrible. At first, I was very much frightened by these horrible things. But during the first confession, I was set at peace. One soon I went outside the convent to go to confession, to St. Michael Church. I chanced upon my confessor, Father Sepulchro, St. Mars. After a while, I saw the child Jesus on the altar, joyfully and playfully holding out his hands to him. But a moment later, the priest took the beautiful child into his hands, broke him up and ate him alive. That's a vision. At the first instant, I felt dislike for the priest for having done this to Jesus, eating up Jesus, breaking him up and eating the baby Jesus. No? How can I tell this, Father Sepulchro? So wild. But I was immediately enlightened in the matter and understood that this priest was very pleasing to God. Once when I was visiting the artist Eugene Kozmirovsky, who was painting the image, and saw that it was not as beautiful as Jesus is, I felt very sad about it, but it hit this deep in my heart. When we had left the artist's house, Mother Superior Irene stayed in town to attend to some matters while I returned home, unknown. I went immediately to the chapel and wept a good deal. I said to the Lord, "Who will paint you as beautiful as you are?" Then I heard these words, "Lord, in the beauty of the color, Lord, of the brush lies the greatness of this image, but in my grace." So though at times the picture is not exactly, doesn't matter. It's not because of the color, because of the painting. But this is His grace. Even if it looks ugly, still His grace overcome the color. So even if in the future you have another picture, not the same as this, wow, this one. The important is not the color. Okay. So much so for today. Keep Jesus, this image in us, and say yes, 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 yes to whatever. Offer. Only for you, only for you. I trust. At times you can't so many prayers. Just say, "Thank you, Jesus," when you have suffering.